This is a Sandy Boy Productions podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Lindsay Hine. Thanks for being here. Welcome to my podcast. Today, my guest on the show is Zibby Owens. She's the host of the podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. She puts out a daily show where she interviews authors. Daily? My head explodes when I think about a daily show. She is also the owner of a local bookshop. She is the owner of Zibby Media. She hosts retreats, book clubs. Right now, she's touring because her new book, Blank, is coming out in just a couple days. Or actually, it's already come out by the time this episode airs. She's also the author of a memoir called Bookends, a memoir of love, loss, and literature. She has her own publishing house now where they publish, I believe it's one book a month. They aim for 12 a year. I'm super fascinated by the fact that she really launched this career after she turned 40 and got divorced. And so I love hearing stories of success after 40, after 50, after 60, after 70, you know? I think it's really cool. And sometimes we look at the success of other people and we think, well, why wasn't I doing that at 30? Why wasn't I doing that at this age or that age? And we compare our success and our timeline to other people's timelines. And so I love hearing stories like this. And also just want to remind myself and you all listening that like your timeline is your timeline. It doesn't matter what other people's timelines are. It really doesn't matter. I definitely get some good book recommendations from Zibby in this episode. Of course, y'all know I'm a big book lover myself. I do host my own book club now, which is super fun. In January, we read the book Demon Copperhead by Barbara Kingsolver. And this month, in February, we read the book Love Me by Jessica Saunders. That is a debut novel from her. That was really good. And then for March, our book is The Whispers by Ashley Audrain. She is the author of the book The Push, which was really good, in my opinion. We do an online meetup once a month and in person as well here in Raleigh, North Carolina, if you're around this neighborhood. Definitely check out the book club. You can go to lindsayhine.com to learn more and to sign up for our book club newsletter where we make announcements and things like that. Okay, so follow Zibby. Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books is her podcast. You can find her on Instagram. She's Zibby Owens. And connect with me as well. I'm lindsayhine626 on Instagram. And I definitely give book club information over there as well. All right, friends. Well, if you're enjoying this podcast, please leave us a quick rating and review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. That is a huge help. I do want to give a quick mention of one of our sponsors, and that is Hugs Bras. Listen, these are the best bras I have ever worn. They are so comfortable. I can't say enough good things about them. The mesh that is used for the padding, it's a patent pending mesh liner. There's no crinkly inserts that you're gonna lose in the dryer or anything like that. And by the way, you can dry these bras and they don't lose their form. In fact, they get better. They get better as you wash them and dry them. I'm not kidding. The Razorback ones are my favorite and they have them in these beautiful colors. I love the black, of course, and then the lilac is one of my favorites. Anyway, you all should go check them out. Support this small women-owned business. The woman, Jennifer, who's the founder, she's been in the bra business for over 20 years. She knows what she's doing. And one more thing, they're not restrictive. Like they're supportive, but not restrictive. Very versatile, very comfortable. Go to hug.co, H-U-U-G.co, and use the code Lindsay15. That'll get you $15 off any purchase of $110 or more. All right, friends, please enjoy my conversation with the wonderful Zibby Owens. Zibby Owens, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. How are you?
Well, I'm unshowered. And I was just thinking like, oh, well, someone that has a podcast called Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books can totally understand that. I'm not showered right now.
Should I even admit that sometimes I go like every other day? Like, do I really need to shower every day?
I I'm a compulsive shower, but I got done with my run and then I had a call in between this and that. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to show up like this and it's all good. That's how moms have time to read books. They skip showers sometimes.
They skip showers. They run late. They're totally, you know, I don't know.
You are on a book tour right now, though.
I am. It starts tomorrow. And I also like run a big business and it's a lot right this second. It's just I'm trying to like finish up and restructure and do all these things with my company, which I'm really passionate and excited about and have been building it up for years. But sort of taking off and like promoting myself is not something I typically do. So it's causing a little bit of a time suck.
Wait, I want to know how that feels, because as someone who spends most of their time, a lot of their time, I shouldn't say most because I don't know how you spend most of your time, but a lot of your time interviewing other people and like putting other people on your platform, what is that like to be in that other seat?
I know. It's crazy. It really is crazy. And by the way, I still have 3 podcasts I'm supposed to be doing this afternoon. So I'm still continuing to interview people. I'm still interviewing other people. Yeah, it's crazy. It's fun. It's really fun. It's fun to like take a little turn on the ride that I'm running. You know, it's kind of how I feel like I just got to hop on the merry-go-round that like I'm the operator on the sidelines at Disney World or something. And now I got to go take a turn and then I'll go back to like, you know, operating the machine.
Okay. I can't believe you put out a daily episode though. I mean, that is wild.
I am going to be stopping doing that as of fall. I have so many lined up. I would, you know, but yeah, it's too much. And I did it starting in COVID. I went up to daily and I just love talking to people. I've been having a hard time scaling back, but finally now my podcast, you know, network, I guess, is like, okay, that's too much. Thank you very much. So I have a lot scheduled, but by September I'll be going down to 2 a week.
Okay. One of the things, I don't know what you're used to talking about on other podcasts, like when you're a guest, but one of the things I'm fascinated by with your story is that a lot of this launched and took off after you turned 40. Mm-hmm. And like, I just turned 40. And so it was this like number that weighed on me for such a long time. And then of course it hits and you're like, oh, nothing changed. I'm still here. I'm still me. And I had similar feelings to that. Like when I had a hysterectomy, like all these things are going to change, but it's like, oh, internally, spiritually, all the things are actually the same. So I am super fascinated with stories, especially women who after 40, like careers take off and exciting things happen. So can you talk a little bit about that specifically?
Sure, I would love to. And I also had a hysterectomy and I was also worried about that. And it was fine. You know, it's all fine. I was also freaking out about turning 40. And I never could have imagined sort of the trajectory that my life has gone on since then. I stayed home with my kids for 11 years. I have 4 kids, and including a set of twins who were a handful. and I didn't know ahead of time if I'd want to, like, I always wanted to be a writer. So I'm like, well, this is going to be great. When I have kids, I'll be able to just write and be with my kids and da da da. And I kind of jumped in both feet with the mom stuff. I mean, I was involved in the community, but I was at every single class and I was like, I am going to prove my worth as a mom with my time. So how much time I spend with my kids is how good a mom I am. I don't know why I said that to myself. It's completely not true. I realize that now that it's obviously not true, but that is for whatever reason, what I got into my head. And I just felt I needed to be at home. These kids in particular, I don't know, I just needed to be at home. So I tried doing some stuff on the side, but for a bunch of reasons, I just didn't go back to doing things full time. And then I had 2 kids later. So it wasn't. And then, you know, my marriage was ending, and not to talk about my marriage at all, but I got divorced after I had the 4 kids. And I finally had this big, you know, before and after moment where I had a chance to kind of redo everything. And it's been crazy too, because I saw a picture the other day of me with my with my ex-husband, like in a swimming pool with my twins, who were now almost 17. And then another picture of me with my husband now, who I've been with for 7 years. No, I've been married to for 7 years, and my younger two kids, who are my ex-husbands. But anyway, like the four, and I was like, I literally had like two lives. You know, I got to redo it. So anyway, because in my second iteration, I went back to work fairly early and was able to take my passions and this new sort of lease on life and pursue what I really loved. And when things started taking off in one area, I was able to go to the next and see where it went and experiment and keep building. And it's been wild, but it's been wonderful. And I'm mad at myself now that I spent so many years being upset that like I was never going to catch up or be on the track or da 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 da. And that, you know, I had gone to business school and, you know, I never thought I'd be like a big, you know, corporate person, because I don't do well, I don't think, in the corporate sort of hierarchical, very, very structured world. But on the creative side, I do. And this, I found a way to like meld them all now, which is great. But I was very down for many years about how I couldn't, there was the me that was there before had sort of disappeared. And I was not at peace with that. And now I feel like I can bring a little bit of everything to the table and I'm much happier.
When did that feeling go away?
That feeling went away, well, recently.
That's interesting.
In the last 2 years, maybe, when I
– wow.
Maybe – you know what? Honestly, I think it's went this year when I got like an office. Like last year, we were still all working out of my home and around my dining room table. And finally, I was like, we can't do this anymore. There are too many people. There are 20 people. And this is not working at all. I mean, a lot of them are remote or some part-time, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, now this fall – we got an office and I have an office to go to. And I'm like, oh my gosh, now I have an office. And like my title means something more than like this made up thing that I'm doing in my dining room.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like when does it go from this made up thing to a real full fledged business? Like, is that when you felt like that all went away? Those feelings of like, why haven't I made it yet? Or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, or that I was – I think maybe when we hired, like, someone to help with HR, that was, like, a huge thing.
Yeah.
Like, 401k, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, like, everybody working for me thinks they work for a real company now. So like,
that's amazing. Yeah, that's so funny. Cool. So moms don't have time to read books. I think I first heard of your podcast when one of my friends from podcasting was like, hey, have you listened to this or do you know this podcast? And since then, I've listened to it several times. Sometimes I listen to it because you have a guest on that like I'm interviewing and I'm like, this is going to be great interview prep. Where did it even come from though?
So after I got divorced, I started writing more because I had every other weekend free and that was sad and I didn't know what to do with myself. And you know, I had this therapist who was like, you'll never be lonely, you love to read, like you'll always have your books. And that's true. So I started to read more, I started to write more, I started to publish articles in a lot of the mom sites and the Today Parenting Community site and Scary Mommy and you know, HuffPost. And this one essay I wrote called A Mother's Right to Sanity went somewhat viral, and it was so encouraging that I just kept going. And so over the next year, I had written a ton of parenting essays, and I think by that point I was maybe even engaged. I don't know. And my husband now, Kyle, at the time said, I mean, his name is still Kyle at the time. He said, you know, you should really take all these articles you're writing and turn them into a book. And I said, ugh, moms don't have time to read books. And then I was like, oh, that's so funny. That's what I'll call my book. So I tried to actually sell that as a book. And two agents I talked to said publishers would not find that funny. I am a publisher now. I do still think that's funny. I still have not published that book. But another friend who I gave the book proposal to and who was a best-selling author said, you know what? I don't think this is the book. And meanwhile, people had told me, you know, you're never going to sell a book because you don't have a platform. You're not on social media. You know, and I'm like, I've been writing for 20 years since I was in high school. It didn't matter. So they said build a platform, and I was like, okay, you know, how do that? And at the same time, this author friend suggested I start a podcast, which I thought was crazy because, like, I didn't even know what a podcast was. I didn't listen to podcasts. It was so not. And I was like, I don't talk. I write. You know, like, this is what, this is not even what I do. But then I went home and I researched podcasts and tried to see what was out there. And then I was like, wait, I have this perfect title. I'll use that title from the book.
Yes.
And then what would that show be? And at first I thought I would just read sections of books and read articles, but then I found out that was illegal.
Yeah.
So then I thought, well, I know like three authors. I guess I'll start with them and just see what happens. And that's where I started. And then it just was so exciting and fun that I kept doing it. And eventually it just kept growing and I turned it into a live event series, like in my living room. And then that became book fairs. And those were precursors to the bookstore I now own. And I started moderating other people's events, and just all this stuff has led to all this other stuff.
It's so wild. She says
eloquently.
Hey, everybody. Two things here on this quick break I want to tell you about. I'm going to be at the Shamrock Marathon the weekend of March 15th through 17th. I'll be hosting panels, moderating some things at the expo, the Race Expo. I'm really excited to be there. It is a wonderful weekend in Virginia Beach, Virginia. They have an amazing after party after the marathon and half marathon on Sunday, March 17th. There's an 8K on that Saturday. So many good, fun things happening. And I'd love to have you join me there. I'd love to see you. If you're going to be there, please send me a message on Instagram, LindseyHine626, so I can plan to include you in any of the meetups we're doing. I'm going to host a meetup, and I can't wait to meet so many people there. So if you're in the area and you're a runner, come join us. You can also use the code LindseySham10, L-I-N-D-S-E-Y, Sham, S-H-A-M 10-10 for 10% off your registration of any of those Yingling Shamrock Marathon race weekend races. And then the other thing I wanted to mention is I have training plans for sale on my website at lindseyhine.com. If you're looking to train for a marathon or a half marathon or even your first 5K, I have a plan for you. Just go to lindseyhine.com and click on the training plans tab, and you will find comprehensive plans with pace charts, pre and post run, stretching and strength routines, and they are very beautifully designed. So go check those out, lindseyhine.com. All right, friends, back to my conversation with Zibby. But so your bookstore is in Santa Monica, but you live in New York?
I do. I have a place in LA, and I go there. That's where my life through Kyle has been reinvented, and my brother lives there. And
okay, so you're there half the time.
I used to live there after college, so I have a lot of friends there. Not half the time, but when I don't have the kids, I go, and a lot of times now with the kids who love it, and whenever we can, we get out there. So I'm there probably at least every 6 weeks.
Okay. I was like, how does that work if she doesn't even live anywhere near there?
Yeah.
Tell us about owning a bookstore. You know how you know the phrase now, like, my beige flag? My beige flag is every time someone does something fun, I'm like, I should do that. Like, I was listening to you on another podcast talking about your bookstore, and I was like, I should have a bookstore. And then I was listening to someone else talk about a completely different business adventure, and I was like, I should do that. And instead, I'm going to go buy some chickens, like, to raise, instead of opening a bookstore that I know nothing about. But anyway, it excites me to think of, like, what this started out as, and then you going on and, like, actually then becoming a charming bookstore owner. An owner of a charming bookstore, I should say.
I mean, like, I'm pretty charming.
So you're also charming.
I mean, owning a bookstore was a dream I never thought would happen in real life. I still can't believe it's happened. Like, when I'm listening to you ask me the question, I'm like, he's talking about me. It's such a dream come true. It's like, I've always wanted to own a bookstore because I've been reading I like love books so much. I have such a passion for them. I have like a trillion books. But opening a bookstore came about, I had expressed this interest also, you know, to Kyle and, you know, everybody, and, you know, there are things I want to do, and I just sort of like throw them out there for a while.
Yeah.
And kind of like they keep just marinating. And I, you know, so I tested. I didn't realize I was testing the concept, But I was testing the concept by having all these book fairs where I worked with bookstores and curated and invited people and did the sales and da da da. So I basically was running pop-up bookstores for like 2 years to see what it was like. And then in LA near our house, a bookstore that was there when left. So there was no bookstore left right where we are. Kyle was like, well, why don't you open your bookstore there? And I was like, no, no, no. You know, but I was like, just for fun, I'm going to call this broker and just see like, how much even is this space? And I had looked at some spaces in New York and the rent is so outrageous. I was like, I mean, this is not even like something remotely on the horizon. But in LA, the first space was also ridiculous, but the broker said, well, I have this space in Santa Monica and I know the owner really wants a bookstore. So at first I said, well, that's not close enough and da da da, and I don't know. And then I finally went to look at the space and I was like, oh my gosh, this is perfect. It has like windows. It's just perfect. It's not too big. It's 800 square feet. You know, I was like, great. And so then at first I thought, well, maybe I'll do a pop-up here. And then I was like, no, 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 I have to decorate it. I have to decorate it. I have to make it look perfect. So I might as well just get a lease for a couple of years. So that's what happened.
Okay, talk to me about like those decisions. I was just thinking about this with my little chicken situation I'm doing on a much smaller scale. Like literally, I'm going to go get these chickens tomorrow. And it's like, that's something I thought about for a long time. And it's like, why am I not just like doing the things? Do you know what I mean? Like, when you have that business idea, you wanted a bookstore, you saw the space, like you could have just sat on it. Like, talk to me about how you, are you an impulse person? Are you like, I wait a long time? And then once you finally make the decisions, how do you do that and go forward?
I have an idea. I don't act immediately. I don't accumulate data in an organized way, the way a project or something, or, you know, I don't make a business plan. This is embarrassing. But I just think about it. I think about it. I talk to lots of people about it. I do research on my own. I gather tons of information, but in a more creative, nonlinear way. And then by the time an opportunity arises where it's possible, I'm kind of ready. So this is happening now. I have this dream of opening a hotel.
Oh my gosh.
Like a Zibby hotel that's like totally bookish. And I have all these ideas and visions and whatever. And I've been talking to people. I've been throwing it out there. I'm like, this is my dream, but I don't know. Da, da, da. And then I just happened to be on a call with like a hotel chain yesterday and mentioned it. And they were like, oh, well, we'll manage it for you. And I was like, okay, well, you know what I mean? Like these things just happen. Like if I had... You know, not that this is necessarily who I – that not that I'm going to do it and not that I'm necessarily going to partner with this group, but now that I know it's as easy as just like mentioning it to a group of people who manage hotels and they're like, yes, and they're like, that's a great idea. So that's kind of how it happens. It's not that I'm doing it impulsively. It might seem impulsive. I haven't – but it's not. I've been researching. I have all the competitive data. I could tell you all the different hotels and what they're doing and what I like and I don't like and who does bookish things and where and how. Like I have it all in there. So I'm ready to act when the opportunity arises.
Love it. Okay, talk to me about book culture. I'm a big reader and it's like, you know how they always say like for your social media or whatever it is you do, like what are your buckets, right? Like podcasting is certainly one of my buckets. Running is certainly one of my buckets. And reading is definitely one of my buckets. Music, probably I would add to that. My kids. So it's like this arm of what I do. I just love it so much. But I'm definitely not in the book culture. I'm not like I'm in running Instagram. Like running is really my culture. So I'm curious, like what is the book culture like?
It's actually a very warm and friendly space, I have to say, especially on Instagram. Facebook too, actually. There's so much author support for other authors and reader support for books and just celebration of books in general. There's access to authors I never would have thought possible. Authors are super engaged. I found out as a publisher, like that is something that they are being asked to do by everybody. But the idea that you can just DM an author, and this happened to me.
Yeah.
Like I read Jill Santopillo's book, The Light We Lost. And I was like, I wonder if I could just DM her and would she write me back? And she did, like right away. And I was like, oh my gosh.
That was early on.
I was still crying from reading her book, but and she wrote me right back. I couldn't believe it. And now sometimes people write me and they're like, I can't believe you wrote me back. And I'm like, well, of course, I'm just like sitting here and your email came in and I happened to be have this open. And of course,
yeah.
So, you know, other times it takes like days, but I think it's a really wonderful culture. It seems to have a lot of momentum behind it, even though this is the most ancient form of entertainment. And I think the combination of COVID and the uptick in reading then and book talk and how that has taken off and introduced a new whole community of readers, you know, it's just a really happy space. There's so much unhappy stuff going on right now. And
yeah,
I'm like, my feed is like, the latest books, cover reveals, like people in crowded rooms waving books, you know, people like, I am typing the last sentence. Like, it's all like very warm and fuzzy. And that is the space I like to live in because it is not necessarily all of reality. And I very well know that, but I don't want to see it in front of me.
Oh, totally. Because, and then you click on something and your feed starts getting curated to that.
Yeah.
So if you get into a bad hole, it'll start showing up more and you're like, why am I seeing all these like cancer patients on my feed? And it's like, because I was reading all these stories and that kind of stuff will flood my brain. And I, you know, and it's like, I got to get away from it. I saw on your, Instagram feed that you were at Savannah Guthrie's, book event or whatever. And so then I was like, oh my gosh, Savannah Guthrie wrote a book about God, which for some reason was surprising to me. Yep. So I went and listened to her on Hoda's podcast this morning on my run. And I like teared up several times. Like that podcast was so, so good. I don't even know my point of bringing that up other than thanking you for like bringing it to my brain that she'd even written a book.
Well, I love hearing that. And now I have to go listen to that podcast.
It's really good.
Got the book at her party and I'm going to interview her about it, but I haven't read it yet, but I'm dying to. And if you felt like you were going to, I mean, I was crying at the party. Mm-hmm. I mean, this toast that she gave to her husband was like so beautiful and she was tearing up so much. And it was clearly like really, really meaningful to her, this book and getting to this stage. And I don't know. But I love doing that. I love like, yeah, sure, I'll go to this party with you, you know, if a friend invites me or if I get an invite, like I try to pop in, you know, this is my latest thing. It's like a 5, 10, 15 minute pop in, like I just want to see, and then I'll go home and be with my kids. But like if it's close enough and I have the opportunity in this crazy life to do something festive and fun, like I'll try really hard.
Yeah. One of the things I loved about it was like, I haven't read the book either, by the way. But it kind of goes with what you were just saying about like how the authors and writers are so supportive of each other. Like the way that Hoda like was cheering her on in the interview and like really was one of the big reasons why she even wrote the book in the first place, because she was such a cheerleader. I think that was one of the 5 times that I teared up because I just like seeing how meaningful their friendship was and how important it is to like, who are you cheering on today?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I thought about that. I thought about that. Like, Lindsay, who are you cheering on today? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
On the topic of books, though, this is probably really boring and basic, but I think we just have to ask some basic book questions because you're Zibby Owens. Moms don't have time to read books. So how do you run a book club well?
That's a great question. I think picking books that people are really interested in reading and excited to come talk about. I think congregating regular basis so people know basically when to come. Yeah. I think having someone be in charge of moderating, making sure that the conversation is moving smoothly, that someone's not taking up all the air in the room. I really think having the author join can be really exciting if you have that opportunity. So for the book club I run, the author joins for the second half hour online. And that's always fun for Q&A. And I think the spirit of fun. I mean, yesterday in the book club I did with Lori Frankel, who wrote Family, I went around and there were like 60 people there yesterday at the beginning and I was asking him, but I wanted everybody to introduce themselves because I'm like, we're not like in a crowded bar right now. You know, we're on a book club together. I want to know where you're from. And there are people from like Paris and, you know, all these places. And I was like, oh gosh, we've like spent half the introducing ourselves. But I'm like, but isn't that what good book clubs do, where you don't talk about the book, you like connect? Because that's really the point. It's, I mean, yes, it's to talk about the book, but it's the real point is to connect with each other through the book. The book is a medium. So I think keeping that in mind, not being too formulaic in terms of, you know, timing and what you must do, because you could miss the whole point. It's rare that we get together with people we care about. And when we do, yes, talk about the book, but, you know, use it as a time to connect and make the time for it.
I love that. Yeah. So I met in person last week for my book club, and I was like, or last month, and I was like, so can we meet in person, the people that live here in Raleigh, and then also log on? So that's what we did. And I still don't know if that is what makes, because what I wanted to do was encourage people, like, get your people together where you live.
Yeah.
Everybody meet for an hour, and then we'll all hop on together for like 30 minutes or something. And I can't decide if that's going to flow well, but it sounds like that's similar to what you're doing.
Ours is online only.
Okay.
We have a chapter at my bookstore. But I experimented with that too. I was like, I want there to be Zibby's book club chapters everywhere. But ultimately, it's too hard. We started
it's hard.
And then the chapters were reading other things. And I'm like, why does this even have my branding anymore? And I can't monitor it. So I think we can only do so much.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. Okay. So you have to pick two books from 2023 that if someone doesn't read a lot and you're like, okay, these are two books you got to read that you read last year.
Okay. I would definitely read You Could Make This Place Beautiful by Maggie Smith.
Okay.
Especially if you don't read that much, because each page is so short. It's almost like she's a poet, but she wrote a memoir about her divorce and what that was like and her relationship and love and it being a mom and all of that. And I just loved it. I love her. She's so talented. So I would read that for sure. Another book from last year. There was another memoir I loved, not to keep talking about memoirs, although I do love memoirs. It's by a woman named Steph Katadal. And it was called Everywhere All at Once. And it was about her husband who's you're a runner, a performance runner.
Yeah, I read the book.
Oh, did you love it?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I thought it was so good. I'm always super intrigued by people's faith and like how she weaved all that into it. Yeah, I followed his story very closely, like when everything first happened. I'm curious how he's doing, actually.
I didn't know the ending. Like, so, and I wouldn't look on social media. Like, I didn't know what happened. So for me, it was like a thriller as well, you know, like a page turning thriller. I don't know. I know that just like came to mind as something that was incredibly powerful last year.
That's kind of wild that of all the books you brought that book up.
You know what? It must have been in my subconscious with you saying about running. I swear to God. I don't know how my brain works, but I don't know.
Did you talk to her?
Yes.
You did. So you did it's on your podcast feed then. People can go listen. Oh, cool. That's awesome. What are your feelings on quitting books?
Totally fine.
Okay. How do you decide if you're going to?
If I don't want to pick it up anymore. or if I find my mind wandering a lot.
Yeah.
Be wandering. I don't have time for this, you know?
Do you know what book I had such a hard time getting through, but I'm so glad I got through it? Is The Poisonwood Bible.
I did not read that.
Oh, I'm surprised. You've read Demon Copperhead by now.
I did.
Okay. Did you love it?
I thought it was really, really good.
Okay. Well, The Poisonwood Bible, like I had heard so many people say that it was their favorite book. And so I had like gone back to it so many times and I just could not get into it. But then when I finished it, I'm like, I get it now. I'm so glad I read it. But man, it was hard to not quit.
I have to say, Anne Napolitano's Hello Beautiful, which was an Oprah's book club pick, I had trouble getting into that a couple of times. Until I was like, okay, I have to do this. And I'm so glad I did too. So I guess it depends on the book. If there's a lot of redeeming things coming and it's worth it to get past maybe like a section or two that aren't as fast paced, then try. But I don't know. There are lots of other books out there though too. So I don't know.
Okay. What about Remarkably Bright Creatures, something like that? Do you know which one?
Did not read that either.
Okay. Cause that's one of the ones that one of my best friend, like best reading friends, she was like, this is the book of 2023 if you haven't read it. And so I wanted, okay, you didn't read it. What? How do you choose on books like that, that are like very popular and everybody's reading, to not read or to read?
So I pick what to read before I know if it's popular or not.
Okay.
I pick like 6 months out what I'm going to read, because I pick what I'm going to put on my podcast. And I evaluate books based on the description of the plot, the cover, the first couple pages. And I pass on a lot of books that end up being really popular. I have books on that become not that popular, but they're really great to me.
So how do you decide so far out? And like, who's doing this research for you? Like, you're reading, you're interviewing so many authors that like, how are you even like, how do you stay organized? How do you figure out who you're going to hit
up?
So
I get tons of pitches via email from publicists, and I drag them all into a folder I have called pitches. I get so many that I've actually had like a virtual assistant help me just move them out of my inbox. So I get a lot of those. I would say once a month, I go through them all. I take a whole weekend, like I just did this last week, and I go through them all. A lot of them, I don't even cover this type of book. It's sort of annoying, so I can just easily say no. If there's something that really catches my attention, I ask for a hard copy. Then I get a bunch of hard copies. And then another weekend, I sit there and I spend hours and I go through all these books. And if I start reading and I don't want to stop, I have them on the podcast.
Okay. Well, lastly, we'll just cover your new book coming out, Blank.
Yes.
How's that going? How are you feeling about that?
Going great. It's coming out, as we're talking, it's coming out in 2 days.
Wow.
I know. And it was the Amazon First Reads, one of the Amazon First Reads picks of February. So it was actually free as an ebook all of February. So I've actually had a little test run with lots of people emailing me when they finish it and posting about it and things like that. So it's kind of like I have two launches. But I am very excited for this weekend, and I'm going on this insane tour. I'm going to like 24 different states around the country.
So fun.
And I'm doing it not just to tour for the book, but for my whole brand. Readers, the Zippyverse, and, you know, we have book clubs and retreats and classes and a publishing house and this podcast and, you know, so much stuff. So I want to get out there and just meet readers and connect and get to know different areas and figure out, you know, just kind of like what you were talking about. Should I start not that I necessarily want to start something everywhere, but I need to familiarize myself with lots more places. So I am just so excited to get out there and experience places I haven't ever been, like Kansas City and, you know, all these places. So I'm excited. Really, really excited.
How do you choose which bookstore to do your events at, like of all the local bookstores?
That's a great question. A lot have reached out to me, or I have a friend in the town who says, I want to organize something with you with my local bookstore. So that's how I'm doing my events in Atlanta and Houston and Dallas and Kansas City. Like all of those are authors who have been on my podcast who now want to like help and have me back.
Oh, nice. Oh, I saw Annabelle Monahan's at one of your stops. I've interviewed her. I loved her book. Two of her books I've read.
Yes, she's awesome.
She's so funny and witty and all the things. Okay. I usually ask people at the end here, what's the best, most recent book you've read? But we've kind of covered that quite a bit. Do you have any other authors you want to give a shout to or anything? Any books you've recently read that, like maybe a new author that we should give some love to?
You should give some love to Julie Chavez, whose book Everyone But Myself came out in January. Memoir about a time in her life when she experienced some anxiety and depression after taking care of everyone except herself, including her kids and her husband, and she's a school librarian. She is so funny, and she actually reminds me of her voice. Her voice reminds me of Annabelle Monahan's. So it's that kind of humor, smart humor. But you'll finish reading and feel empowered to just make tiny changes in your own life, not because it's self-help, which it isn't, but you'll just think twice about the things you do over the course of the day. Like, do I really have to go to, is there anyone, can I have my husband go to pick up today? Or can I, is there any way I can make tiny decisions that might just make the whole day better and there, and eventually my life? So, she's really awesome, and that's a great book.
Oh, thank you. I love that. What is your last message to leave with our audience today?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for spending your very limited time listening to me. And I can't thank your listeners enough and can't thank you enough. And especially because I was late, which I almost never. And I just want to leave them with, you know, no two people who have read the same book are really strangers, right? Mm. Books are the best way to connect us. And we're all really just doing our best every day. And if books can help bridge that gap and bring us a little closer, a little faster, then hats off to books.
Sibby Owens, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for being here, everybody, today. I am grateful you're joining us on the podcast. And if you'd like to connect with me, I'm LindseyHine626 on Instagram. You can learn more about this podcast and all the shows in our network at sandyboyproductions.com. Learn more about all the things I'm doing at lindseyhine.com. You can find my training plans there as well. Just click on that training plan tab. Thanks for being here, and we'll see you next week.